In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Hey, hey.
Let's all go to the
lobby. Time for Pass the Popcorn here on a Monday afternoon. Alan Adams with us in studio. Happy Labor Day, Mr. Adams.
And to you as well, sir.
You had the day off, but you were out mowing the lawn, making the yard a better place.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where we've been having some pretty significant work done on the house. And so, like, the contractor trailer is in the driveway and, the dump stuff. So it's just been one of those things where, like, frankly, we haven't, like, I hadn't seen my backyard in, like, a month.
Right.
And so, but we had gone out earlier this weekend, and I took it, taken a look, and I'm like, oh, that's, I mean, no one can see it, but I know it's there. Yeah. And so it's like, you know what? Let's get that taken care of. I had actually busted out the weed whacker a couple days ago because we'd had some overgrowth on the sort of retaining wall out in front of our house. So I wanted to trim that down because, you know, it's, you don't want your house to look abandoned.
No.
So I took care of that. But yeah, it was actually, like, it's actually been a really lovely weekend. Sheridan and I had the opportunity to basically, just because of the way it timed out, we got to catch up with a whole mess of people that we hadn't really hung out.
That's nice.
You know, and it's, we were talking about it earlier, where we actually took a moment, brought Stella out, and we sat on the porch and had a cocktail this afternoon.
Very
just
nice. Really,
yeah, you know, it's just, it's one of those days, which, by the way, so it's not supposed to, like, highs in the 80s, like, all week.
Yes.
It's like, it's September, people. Like,
yeah. This is, well, you know, we remember June.
Yep.
This is the payback.
Everything's fine.
Like, right, no, what could go wrong?
This all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly how the weather is supposed to work.
Wait till we get this in October.
Good Lord.
Or November.
Right? Yeah. But yeah, so we got out there. But yeah, just a chance to spend time with folks that we didn't ordinarily. And we were talking about it, and it's like, it felt like the before times.
Oh,
a little,
yeah,
bit.
I remember,
you know what
those.
I mean? You know, and it's not, you know, and it's like, you know, you still hear things, and it's like, there's, you know, the everything is ongoing, but mm-hmm. like, but for at least for a brief stretch of time, it's like, oh, I remember this.
Yeah.
I remember what this was like. It was really lovely. So it was nice to sort of, you know, touch base with people whose own lives have left them sort of out of touch for a little bit and sort of reconnect. So that was it was lovely. So we had a really great weekend, a tiring weekend, not exactly the sort of relaxation you expect to get from a long weekend, but well worth it. We had a really lovely few days.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Did you get to see any movies in the last week?
You know, it's funny. I did, but, like, I will talk about this, and I'm guessing it probably comes from the fact that it is the Labor Day weekend, the holiday weekend. There was nothing on streaming that was new. Like, nothing.
Wow.
Like I mean there were, like, Netflix had a couple of, like, it's like, oh, would you like to watch this Italian thriller or this Danish rom-com? And it's like, no I don't. Like,
you didn't watch a Danish rom-com? Come on.
That is not going to help me for what I need to do. However, I'll talk about this real quick because there was a movie that I was hoping to see this weekend. But the expansion is going a little the rollout the rolling expansion is going a little slower than I anticipated. There's a film called Bottoms that is coming. I've just the single line sort of log line. I've heard it described as a teen lesbian coming of age story crossed with Fight Club.
And
I am here for it.
Yes.
Apparently. One of the top billed performers is former NFL running back Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, okay. I saw a post about that. earlier today, and he was explaining he did it to make sure his sister still likes him.
Right, because he like his you know his sister is queer, and he apparently didn't. It's not that he handled it badly. He just regrets that he didn't handle it better.
Right.
In the moment, and so this presented an opportunity for him to sort of. I don't know, like make up for it a little bit in a way. And by all accounts, like everyone is talking about, it's like, everyone's like, you know, no joke. Like Marshawn Lynch is good at this.
I believe that.
Well, I don't know if you had a chance. I don't know if you watched any of the Netflix show Murderville.
No.
It's Will Arnett as like a detective, like solving crimes.
Oh, nice.
But it's, the whole deal is they bring someone in, to the scene with no knowledge of what's happening.
Hmm.
And so it's the person who comes in has to improvise their way through what's happening as the story plays out. And Marshawn Lynch was one of the performers on an episode of this and was phenomenal.
Nice.
And it's just like, oh, okay. So you're just good at everything. Cool. leave a little something for the rest of us, Marshawn.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I had hoped to see Bottoms this weekend. That opportunity did not present itself. However, there is one wide release movie in theaters that I did get a chance to see.
Okay.
I got to see The Equalizer 3.
It's Denzel, right?
It is
Come
Denzel.
On.
It's Denzel. You gotta see it. And he equalizes the crap out of it. We're just gonna take a moment for a parenthetical because this occurred to me while I was watching the opening credits, and it did not leave my head for the first hour of the movie. Threequalizer was right there. It was right there.
Yes.
You know, and it's just like, come on, Hollywood. I know the writers are on strike, but someone has to be able to pick up. Anyway, for those who are unfamiliar, The Equalizer, based on the 1980s. CBS series of the same name, which said series has been revived on CBS, starring Queen Latifah, but that is separate from this film franchise,
right,
which is also loosely based on the 1980s television show. This stars Denzel Washington as Robert McCall, a former special forces slash defensive intelligence agency slash whatever badass guy who. You know, he's retired from that game, and so now he spends his time. Well, he spends his time equalizing. Rich, he wanders the earth like Kane from Kung Fu, setting things right for the people who have been who have been unjustly wronged by various shady individual systems, societal structures, etc. This latest installment takes us halfway across the world, Rich. We're in Italy. We're in southern Italy for this one. We turn up and we're watching as a. It's never quite established what kind of bad guy this is, but it's pretty clear he's a bad guy because he's got a gun and he's behaving in a shady way.
That's a bad guy.
And he goes to what we assume is his headquarters. And we get to watch him walk through the just littered with bodies of various henchmen murdered in very extreme ways. Like it's like the first guy you see, it's like, oh no, he's got a meat cleaver in his face. That's the kind of movie that we're talking about here. And he makes his way through bodies, and then he gets to a spot, and there's Denzel, and he's being held at gunpoint by two guys, and they have a brief conversation about the guy's like, what are you doing here? And Denzel's like, you took something that didn't belong to you, and I came to get it back. And the guy's like, well, now you're going to get killed. And then Denzel like says a bunch of stuff about how this guy's too close and this other guy's going to get murdered, and it's all your fault, but that's what's going to happen. And, well, Rich, that's what happens. Because he is the equalizer. In the course of leaving, he winds up getting injured and is brought to a small town doctor who fixes him up, no questions asked. He, in the course of his convalescence, starts to connect with the people of this small village. Like he goes to the cafes and he's like, making friends, and everybody's like, oh, hey, Roberto, he's the best. No matter where you are in the world, Rich,
someone's going to need some equalizing.
Something needs equalizing. In this case, we have a Well, basically, they have a couple of different names for it, but it's basically the mafia. There's a dude who's trying to push the fine folks of this small town out so he can build like hotels and casinos and blah blah blah. Denzel tries to stay out of it. He does because you know he's not here for that life anymore.
No.
And he's really growing fond of this tiny town in southern Italy. But you know, just when he tries to get out, they keep pulling him back in. And the dudes are very, they start hurting people that he cares about. And you know what Denzel does when you hurt people he cares about? He hurts you back.
Yeah.
He hurts you back because, well, that's equalizing. And then we're off to the races. And at one point he calls the CIA, because of course he does, because he still has the CIA's phone number, where he talks to a young lady, analyst played by Dakota Fanning. Frankly, maybe a little underutilized here. We don't get to see a lot of her. But she and her field agent partner, whose name I've forgotten, but it doesn't matter. He was played by the guy who played Roy on The Office. David Denman, I think his name is. It turns out there's like some drug smuggling and some money laundering and some weird like cybercrime stuff. through it all, it's like. Denzel equalizes, and then one of the big bads is like, oh, you equalize too much. Now I'm going to make you pay. And Denzel's like, yeah, let's do this. And they do. Look, I'm being very flip about this. It's really interesting because we've talked at length, I think, about the whole notion of Jerry action, like the old man sort of action movie. And granted, you know, Liam Neeson is and always will be the patron saint of that particular subgenre. But when you put someone like Denzel in that kind of role, because, you know, Denzel's in his 60s, man. Like, he's not a young dude anymore.
Hey, now.
Rich, like, I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. I am also not a young guy anymore. But you know, he's a pretty, like, Denzel's in pretty good shape. They don't ask him to do a lot of the fancy schmancy, like, physical stuff. What we do get is in snippets. And he looks, you know, he can sell it. But the truth is, like, he just has, like, he's Denzel. So he has this incredible, like, history and gravitas to him.
He's the thinking man's equalizer.
Yes, he is. He absolutely is. Even when he's just, like, stabbing dudes and, like, garroting him with piano wire and, like, you know, and driving a pistol through a guy's eye and then shooting a guy behind him. Like, yeah.
Wow.
Like, brutal. It gets very brutal. But it's super fun. And Antoine Fuqua is back as the director. And the two of them clearly are simpatico when it comes to this stuff. Like, they both have a real sense of what makes sense, because this is the sort of film that could very easily veer into the silly. And the combination of a very capable director and an actor who, again, he's built up a lot of capital from us, from the audience. And so we are willing to accept things from him that we might not necessarily accept from another actor. It's not over the top. I mean, some of the violent stuff, it gets a little over the top, but like, you know, you get the Denzel moments where he, like, he does the stuff with his face and he starts quiet and then gets loud and gets all like weird and confrontational with bad guys when he clearly has, you know, when he's clearly at their mercy, but like, he doesn't care. And it's just like, yeah, let's do this. Come on, let's go. And it's kind of great because, again, it's Denzel.
It's Denzel
doing Denzel stuff. Still just a little miffed that they did not pick up on Threequalizer, because again, that's awesome. I'm not just saying that because that thought occurred to me. I have to assume the thought occurred to other people if it was like the first thing I saw when you showed me the title card. For the third movie in a franchise that doesn't really have any sort of like overall arc to it. Like, it's just like all three of these movies are basically the same in that it's like Denzel is some sort of like incredibly skilled killing machine who doesn't want to do that anymore, but is forced to by circumstances surrounding him, like the Equalizer, Equalizer 2, and now this one, that it's the same thing every time. But here's the thing, Rich. I'm okay with that. Because he's really good. Like, he's just so... Like, I mean, the joke is, like, I'd watch so-and-so read the phone book. Like, I'd watch Denzel just look at the phone book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, he just has that presence. And, you know, there's some talk about... this is ostensibly the sort of end of the trilogy. But there's some talk about potentially doing a prequel, which would be potentially cool. Like, I saw something where they're like, oh, yeah, they could, you know, maybe digitally de-age Denzel. And I'm like, oh. Or, you know, he has a son who's already making action movies who looks a hell of a lot like him.
Yeah.
So maybe just do that.
Mm.
But again, like, I'm not, you know, I'm not in Hollywood. Nor are any of the writers at this point. Mm. You know, which that is ongoing, and it's a real bummer. One has to assume that there will be some sort of closure with regard to that situation sometime soon. But it's bleak out there for
right.
for the you know, for both the Writers Guild and the SAG-AFTRA folks.
Who was telling us recently, Kerry, was it Stephen Tobolowsky who said he's hearing that the SAG-AFTRA strike may settle before the writers?
Yeah, Stephen did make mention of that as a possibility.
Well, I just hope they work it out for all of them, because I know whose side we're on, right?
Yeah, you know, it's like it's like with a lot of these sort of labor, like entertainment adjacent labor actions, like there are always going to be people who inexplicably side with the billionaires instead of the millionaires. Yeah. You know, and it's like, you know, you look at, like, well, professional sports is a great example, like you know, and but with this, it's you have to recognize the value that's being provided. And I honestly don't understand how someone can be a consumer of any kind of entertainment content and sit there and be like, actually, you know, the studios don't make enough money.
Right, right. I think Bob Iger could use a raise.
You know, I just I'm never going to get it. And but it's, I mean, I think it comes down to the fact that, you know, the average person could see themselves, you know, making $1 million, but they can't conceive of a billion.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what it boils down to. But, you know, we wish our creative brethren all the best as they continue to walk the picket lines. And hopefully this will get resolved soon so folks can get out there and start talking about the stuff that's coming, because we're getting to the season where the prestige stuff is going to start hitting. And and I would very much, just as one example, I'd love to hear, like, Leo DiCaprio and Jesse Plemons and that whole gang out there talking about the new Scorsese Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yes.
Like, I would very much like to hear what they have to say about that process. Until the strike stops, we're not going to be able to get that.
Right. Hey, I meant to ask you this, either off the air or might as well ask you here, because we talk about movies mostly, and I know you're a movie guy, but you watch some quality TV. But since you're also a foodie, have you watched The Bear?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I just finished season 2 last week. Oh, my God.
Yeah. The back half of season 2 of The Bear might be the best, say, 3 hours of television I can remember watching. From the Feast of the Seven Fishes episode,
Jamie Lee Curtis, my word,
unbelievable!
Wow.
Well, it's just like, and that episode pops up, and it's just like, you know, and it's all the, and then you're watching, and it's like, wait, holy crap, what is Sarah Paulson doing here?
Yeah, Bob Odenkirk.
Is that John Mulaney? What is happening? But it's like, but it's all these people who have that real, like, real deep connection to Chicago, and so it's like there's that level of verisimilitude that they can bring, because they know that if they didn't come from these people, they know these people.
Right.
And so, but yeah. And what was it? I had seen someone allude to the fact that Forks was the best episode of television that you were going to see all year.
Oh God. I love that episode.
You know what I mean?
And it was Eben Moss Bacharach. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, just brilliant in that.
You know, and just, but just, I mean, top to bottom, such a beautifully cast show, and one that I think, you know, happily is the wrong word, but I was very pleased to see that they were willing to go out on a downer.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, that's bold. But they knew that they had put in the work getting to that point. That was very much an earned ending, which you don't always get.
So is that it? There's no season three?
I'm guessing we'll see more, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows when? Because again, like everybody's on strike.
Yeah.
So man, I don't know how much broadcast television you watch these days, but man, you sit through a commercial break. And seeing what's coming
for
the fall, and it's just...
It's going to be reality shows, game shows, and that's it.
It's just big heaps of reality garbage, and it's just... It's heartbreaking.
Or repurposed cable stuff. Like, I see CBS is going to run Yellowstone.
Yeah, which, I mean, like, if I'm CBS, like, that's an incredibly smart move, because, you know, that show's... on a service that not a lot of people have.
And I think I saw they're airing at least the first two episodes, if not the whole run of the Frasier reboot.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's Paramount Plus, but Big Daddy needs programming, so yeah, they're going to at least the first two on there.
Yeah, you got to fill those hours. But yeah, it's so crazy to look like the prime example of this, and it is a CBS show, so I think this is, but the fact that they took just an absolutely execrable movie called, we actually talked about it on the air, called Buddy Games.
Oh, yes, yes.
Josh Duhamel. They turned that into a reality game show.
I saw the promo for that.
And yeah. It's like, wow, you took a terrible movie, which, by the way, got an even more terrible sequel. And it's like, oh, well, there's, you know, they do stuff in this movie. What if we make regular people do that stuff and call it a television show? It's, I don't know. Like, it just, it's a real bummer. I know a lot of the streamers probably have a ton of stuff in the can, and they'll keep trickling it out. They'll probably slow the pace because you don't know when other stuff is coming back. But the truth is, it will be very interesting to see how far behind production is for a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of film release dates have already been pushed because, even stuff that's in post-production, like they're just, a lot of these studios aren't interested in throwing that stuff out there if they can't promote it properly,
right.
Which I get, like, it makes a lot of sense on their end, but it does mean that it's possible that it's going to be a pretty thin winter as far as like original programming, both on the big screen and the small one.
Yeah, I think you're right. We'll find something to talk about every Monday.
Oh,
though.
We'll figure it out. I'm not worried about it. We can discuss how terrible my fantasy football team is,
or my fantasy baseball team.
There it is.
There, that's it right there. Thanks, Alan.
My pleasure.
See you next week, Alan Adams. Pass the popcorn.